Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 114 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What have you been up to this week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I've not been at work.
You've not been at work? Why not?
No,
why haven't
I've
you been
on holiday.
Oh, right. Just languishing just around the shop.
No, well, I have been in there occasionally, but at home mostly. I've done my gardening.
As long as you weren't out part of the civil unrest during the week.
Oh, no. No, definitely not.
It's worrying when Wolverhampton makes the news. David Lindblad, our friend over in the States, he was... when I pointed out we hadn't done any recording for him to replace what we lost due to a technical glitch, he said, no, we understand you weren't allowed in your studio on Tuesday night, but that's the way it works out. Right, coming up on the programme this week, we'll be having a chat with Featherstone Youth for Change. That's on its way in a bit.
And I have a Chris. I don't know what his surname is. I shall have to ask him.
We'll check.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's the publicity secretary from the Wolverhampton Photographic Society.
We'll be talking to them. Also hearing from one of your stand-ins, one of our lovely co-hosts, Claire Diamond. She'll be along telling us about some folk festival, which we have taking place a little later on in the year. Also, we'll have music from Stereotypical Blues Train.
Very nice.
Anything else from you?
No,
you lost?
No, that was,
that's what you
actually
brought to the table today?
Yes, I'm hoping there's a bit of saxophone in there because I used to like the saxophone.
Okay, we'll see what that is when we listen to it in a bit. First of all, though, referring back to the unfortunate events of last week, it has put people off heading into town somewhat. And there's a big thank you to say to the boys in blue who looked after the city of Wolverhampton last week. And to tell us more about one of the events taking place to try and cheer up the city, we have Darren from The Walkabout. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It's all good with you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
It must have been fairly difficult for you last week, because obviously things were rather unpleasant in town on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, it's been a challenging week for everybody, to be honest. And like we said, we're trying to put our big night out for everybody on Tuesday. It's going to be a bit of the Wolverhampton Community Trust, so it's going to be hopefully a nice night out for everybody.
Tuesday the 16th of August sees the event at Walkabout in Wolverhampton. Give us details on whereabouts you are.
Well, we're on Queen Street. We're one of the worst areas that were affected by the riots, unfortunately. We'll be charging £2 entry from 10 p.m. All the door proceeds will be going to the Wolverhampton Community Trust. And we'll also be doing a raffle. There'll be some prizes available and you'll be able to take part in that.
So it's a case for everyone, get into town, have a good night out, and there's also a special on drinks for those members of the emergency services who were dealing with the issues last week.
As a thank you to the emergency services, we're going to offer anybody who shows their ID badge at the box office when they come in, if they show their ID, they'll get some 2 complimentary drinks vouchers which they can redeem at the bar, and they'll get free entry, of course.
That's your way of saying thank you to them. And was there any damage done to Walkabout last week?
Luckily, no, we didn't have any damage, but across the road there's been 2 or 3 closures, so it's quite sad to see.
Yeah, it's a difficult time, and I know a lot of people have had a lot of comments on it in the press. It's been odd for our city to undergo something like that, but on the way back to getting these things right, and a good night out for all on Tuesday the 16th of August, so get yourself down to Walkabout in Wolverhampton on Queen Street.
Thank you very much.
Darren, thank you for joining us. Cheers. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
So, Zoe, you're heading off to the pub then tomorrow night?
It sounds like it. So I might borrow an emergency service.
Oh, that's cheating!
So
that
I can
is
get
cheating.
A free drink. Was it free drink?
It was just 2 free drinks. We have to show you. You have to show your warrant card.
Oh,
so
okay. That's,
I don't think that's allowed either. Impersonating a police officer is a bad move. Don't do it. Right now, there's a gentleman on the phone whose surname you couldn't remember.
I couldn't.
Are you going to ask
sorry.
Him?
Yes, Chris. Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you? My surname is Nut, unfortunately. I have to blame my father for that.
Well, your mother married a Nut, though, so it's partially her fault too.
It is, and my wife's exactly the same. She made the same mistake as well.
Now, Wolverhampton Photographic Society, then. Tell us more.
Right, OK. Yeah, I've been a member of the society for about 12 or 13 years now. We're quite a large society, one of the largest in the Midlands these days, and also one of the most successful in recent times. We have about 85 members. We meet every Tuesday night at the Albert Lawn Tennis Club in Aldersley Road, Wolverhampton. We're actually not meeting at the moment. We have a break during the summer.
To go out and take photographs?
We have to at some point, to have enough stuff to get in the competitions. But we meet from September until May. If anybody wants to find out anything about us, the best way really is on our website, which is wolverhamptonps.co.uk. All of our itineraries on there, what we're doing every week, lots of pictures from members, all about the competitions and outings. We have quite a few outings as well. Again, giving people opportunity to take some pictures.
So it must have changed a bit in your 12 years of membership then, because you've gone from the start of digital film or digital photographs and left some of the nice chemical stuff behind you. Is that made
Absolutely
a major
right.
difference to what you do?
It has, yes, it has. And I think we've actually probably got more members now. In fact, we have got more members now than at any time in living memory. And I think a lot of that is due to digital and the popularity of photography these days. I mean, to be honest, almost everybody has got a camera on them almost all the time, on their mobile phone.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Nokia, I think, now the world's biggest camera manufacturer, aren't they? Yeah, in the day it would have been Olympus or somebody like
that's
that.
That's right. And now it's a mobile phone manufacturer, yes. I mean, to be quite honest, the quality of some of the pictures you can get off the mobile phones is really quite good. The only problem is you don't have the flexibility and the control that you have with what we call, maybe disparagingly, a proper camera.
An SLR with a digital
exactly.
back, yeah?
Exactly. So you can really start to control what you're doing. And so that's really what the club is about.
So it's gone now from having like your film reels, as you say, to your digital. But a lot of the functions are still the same, aren't they? Like you can do your shutter speed, you can alter the time that
that's
you take to take
right.
the photograph and things like that.
All the principles are exactly the same. Mm. The beauty of digital is that you can actually experiment and play a lot more because you can see the result.
And there's less costing if it goes wrong.
That's right. Mm. Whereas in film days, you had to wait a week until your film came back and it cost you how many pounds, £5 or £6, just to see 36 prints, 35 of which you'd probably throw away. Well, we did in the club anyway. Whereas these days, you just have a look at the back of the camera and immediately you can see whether you've got the kind of result you want or not. Mm. And even more so when you get back home, upload them on your computer and you can see your results. And in some cases, you can start and play around with them in Photoshop or whatever imaging editing package you want to use.
Don't you miss the old days where that excitement where you're developing your own film and thinking, oh, is it going to come out all right? Is it going to be a good picture?
Well, being a professional photographer myself these days, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. Yeah, there was that magical moment, I suppose. However, it's tinged with trepidation, let's say, especially when you've done a commercial job and you've shot somebody's wedding, for example,
yeah.
and you don't know for a week or two whether the pictures have turned out.
Mm.
That would be embarrassing.
I've been there myself in the past. Luckily, they did turn out. But, let's say, it's exactly the same for amateurs and professionals these days. You've got the immediacy of the digital image that you can see on the back of the camera. And it does get rid of that problem where you set your camera on the wrong setting or something, or you've got the flash on and you didn't want it on.
Mm.
You can see it's wrong, and you've probably got the opportunity to take the picture again. Whereas in the past, you wouldn't have done that. You'd have lost the picture.
But you still, I suppose, have the advantage of being able to print with modern technology onto proper photographic paper as well.
What is called a proper print, yes. I mean, a lot of the photo booths and so on these days are using, let's call it digital technology inside. It'll be a dye sublimation printer rather than wet chemicals. However, if you go into, let's say, one of the supermarkets or, let's call it a big photographic chain that begins with a J without mentioning any names.
You can say Jessup's, I don't mind.
Okay, right, fine, don't mind advertising. But if you send your images to them or you take them in the shop and download them and they come back a few days later, they will still be wet processed, almost certainly. The way they're exposed, maybe with a laser these days, but the wet processing will still be there. And you look on the back of the paper and it says something like crystal archive paper. And that's when you can see it's an old-style, wet photographic printing process.
And that still means you've got the quality, it'll last the same way as your photos from the family from 100 years ago may, you know, do.
They will indeed. But in saying that, certainly the modern dye sublimation printers, the ones that are in the photo booths, are, as far as we know, just as good. They will, the prints will last as long. And with modern inkjet printers, as long as you're using the right sort of paper and the right sort of ink, they're talking of lives of more than 100 years, as long as they're not exposed to bright sunlight, which is just as good as old photographs.
I've recently gone through and scanned as many of the old Polaroid pictures that the family took for fun in the 60s, 70s and 80s. And they needed to be archived digitally before they started to fade any further. What sort of things are you doing as a society, though? Are you getting together to talk about photographic techniques and making sure you do rescue prints from people's collections, or are you also looking at brand new pictures and part of these competitions? Is there a challenge out there to get a specific photo?
There is indeed. We do try and cover all sorts of interests in photography as much as we possibly can. Anyway, in 2.5 hours per week, the archive side of our society is always very important. I mean, the history of where we've come from, the local history particularly, is always of great interest. And in fact, we've got some pictures on display at Wolverhampton Central Library at the moment. There's two display cases there, one with our current work in and another with our archival section. So some pictures of the way Wolverhampton used to be and as it is now. So we're trying to be inclusive as much as we possibly can there. But obviously the pictures people are taking today are what's around today. And really the focus of our society is to try and encourage people to improve their photography, to become better photographers.
I presume that would be using like different light techniques, like, for example, not shooting into the sun and...
Sometimes that's a good technique to use. That can work.
If they want a perfect picture, perhaps, you could give
them pointers. It all depends. I mean, one big mistake that I often see made is people are taking... I mean, the most common picture that somebody will take is of somebody else, or two or three people, or a group of people. Don't just look at the people. Look at what's behind them. Look at the background. And often they're shooting against a car park or a horrible brick wall, whereas just moving them around the corner or just turning them round by 45 or 90 degrees, they would have some nice trees behind them.
Mm.
It makes for such better picture if you do that.
Yeah, I did that recently on my holiday in Turkey. I took a lovely picture of my son and the grandparents. I didn't realise till I got home and I had another look at it. There was actually a little pile of rubbish in front of them at their feet.
Photoshop.
That's one of the things that you start to learn very quickly. Don't only look at your subject, look behind your subject.
I didn't look down.
And also, try and avoid telegraph poles and light stands growing out the top of heads.
Oh, I had to do somebody's wedding photos. They're a professional photographer take these photos. And afterwards, you've got a computer, haven't you? You can put these, right? I was taking lampposts off the top of them. They were sticking out of people's heads. There was, in fact, one wall. I just didn't want any lampposts in it at all. So I had to go through and take all of those out. It's crazy.
But wouldn't it be so much easier to get it right at the taking stage?
Yeah. So when do you start meeting again?
We start meeting in September. And I'm just going to pull the diary up now to have a look exactly when that is. It's going to be a Tuesday in September. We actually recommend people to come for about 7:30, not much later. One of the problems we have, we don't have a very large car park, so if you don't turn up too early, you may have to park out on the road or down at the health centre down the road. We're actually meeting for the first time on Tuesday the 6th of September. Meeting actually runs from 7:45 p.m. through till about 10 p.m. We'll have a break in the middle. There's a bar, which we man ourselves. And it's a nice social evening as well. The first evening particularly is going to be quite an open evening for us, where we're trying to welcome in new members, and hopefully we'll get some people listening to this broadcast and will want to come along and see us as well. But it's going to be an open evening to welcome the old members and new, have a look at some work, have a chat about photography. There's going to be plenty of people there to have a chat about how your camera works, how to get better pictures and things like that.
And so what's the full address of the venue?
The full address is the Albert Lawn Tennis Club in Aldersley Road. It's just about 50 yards from the traffic lights on the junction with Hawden Road. It's just a gateway. You'll see big fences and lights, which are the tennis courts. Go up the alleyway there, up the driveway, car park at the back, and we meet in the main room there.
And what's the cost of getting involved in all this?
Right, we charge membership of £15 a year, but you don't have to become a member straight away. What you can do is just attend as a visitor, pay £2.50 a week rather than the £1.50 if you became a member, and you can come as long as you like. We don't force people to become members, we obviously encourage them, but that's all it is. You just pay your £2.50 a week as a visitor. You can try us out. If you like it, if it suits you, great. Come and join us, and we're more than welcome to see as many new faces as we possibly can.
And have you got a website as well, so people can see some of your pictures before they turn up too?
We have indeed. All of the information about our club is there. It's www.wolverhamptonps, as in Photographic Society, ps.co.uk.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Zoe, you're inspired to try and join in with something like this, because I'm sure you class yourself as a master photographer.
Well, I did actually do A-level photography.
And you still managed to get the pile of rubbish in front of the family.
Yes.
There's no helping some people, is there, Chris? She's a lost cause, I think, mate.
Well, they say you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Whatever, I'll have to send her out with the camera and see if she can come back with some interesting pictures for next week's show.
Chris, you do that.
Chris Nutt from Wolverhampton Photographic Society, thanks for joining us there.
Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you very much, Zoe. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Bye. Bye for now. Right, let's take our first track from our featured band, Stereotypical Blues Train. This is Down and Out.
Down and down.
Stereotypical Blues Train, and you wanted saxophone.
There
you
was
didn't
no
get it, no. But they weren't disappointed last week. They won the Band of the Year weekly event. Round heat. Heat is the word I was looking for, wasn't it, sir? At the Robin 2. Joining us on the phone to tell us more about the band and the competition result is Sam Thorne, the drummer. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm good, yeah, you?
Ah, great. And loving the sound. It's a little louder than Zoe had anticipated, because I'd never let her hear the music first.
No, you didn't. I see, when you said your name, I was thinking like a blues band, like that sort of thing.
Have you?
We do have a very bluesy song, but it's kind of more like a mixture of like rock and blues.
Yeah.
Oh, but the two are very closely linked. So how long the band been going?
About a year and a half now.
And not bad getting through to the monthly final at the Robin 2 in the Band of the Year 2011. How did the gig go last week?
It was really good. It wasn't the biggest stage we played on, but it was the first stage when they had a proper drum riser, which was very good for me, especially when I was doing my drum solo, because I was really high up. It was really good.
And where did you guys get together? Is you all local lads?
The vocalist, Tom Carnell, is from Kettering. Me and the guitarist are from Daventry, and the bassist, Flynn Whelan, is from Northamptonshire. And we all met at Northampton College. We were doing a BTEC national diploma in performing music. The first year of the course, we were like dotted around band, and then the second year, we actually made the band in college. We've just been going from there, really.
So you're travelling around a bit then, obviously, to get to Bilston, and gigs up and down the country as well, I'm hoping.
Yeah, we're playing in Leicester this Friday. Birmingham, we've been playing in. We had the Robin 2, and then just locally as well. I mean, anywhere that wants us, really.
And this was quite a few places, and I should think the word is good that's on the streets about yourselves.
Yeah.
Have you got a street team doing some work for you as well to keep the momentum going, too?
At the moment, we're pretty much our own street team. Mm. You know, we just promote ourselves as much as possible, like give out flyers, put up posters, all that.
Do you have the same people come to your concerts? So have you started to get like a bit of a fan base now? Do they follow you around?
Yeah, we do actually. We've got about, I don't know, let's say about 10, 15 people who try to show up to most of our gigs.
Do they manage to get to the one in Robin 2?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 of them did. I mean, we had about 20 people there overall, and we brought family and friends, so it helped us get through that, did.
I bet it's nice seeing like somebody that you've seen before though, doesn't it?
Yeah, and especially when they're wearing your T-shirt as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's knowing you've sold them the T-shirt that makes a difference. Give us the details of where people can find out more about the band online.
We haven't actually got a website yet. We're getting on that. But if you go onto Facebook and search Stereotypical Blues Train, you've got all our tracks, all our gigs, all our gig dates and pictures and details about the band and everything.
And the work you do in the studio, obviously we've got three studio tracks to take a listen to tonight. How do you think it works in the studio compared to your live stuff?
I don't know, I mean, we try not to add, in the studio, because you get some bands that'd be like, oh, let's add a keyboard and like loads of different guitar layers, but then it sounds different live. We try and keep it similar sounding live, so, you know, I won't be like doing any separate tracks, so basically everything you hear in the studio, we can play live.
And including the drum solos, but it's not quite the same when you haven't got the audience egging you on.
Nah, but it's a different feel. It's really fun in the studio, because you're wearing headphones and you can play it and it will sound already like a studio recording. It's really good.
How many tracks have you got under your belt at the moment already? You recorded them?
Recorded, we've got 4, but we're saving up money from like all gigs and stuff to get 3 days more recording. It's at Parlour Studios in Kettering.
Yeah.
Which is a really good studio. Yeah, we're saving up for 3 days there.
So you never know, you might be winners in the final for the Robin, so there could be a couple of tracks coming your way from that too.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that would be good. It all adds up, really.
Well, good luck with the competition as you move through it. Obviously, you've got the August, month two
yeah, that's
final.
22nd, that is.
So, 22nd of August, you're back?
Yep.
And so good luck with that one. Fingers crossed you can do the business. Although there's going to be quite a busy one. There's a lot of competition between all the bands that are taking part. And it's only top quality bands who get through to the stage at the Robin. So it does make it rather harder for you guys. And you've got to put in a top performance every time you're down there.
No, we can do that. It'll be good.
Brilliant. Next track we're going to take is called The Chemist. Do you get involved in sending the songwriting as well? Or is it just, no, I want to put together a good drum solo?
No, we all get involved, really. I mean, the guitarist will come up with a riff that we base the song around, and then the vocalist will write the lyrics, and then we all kind of joint write the entire structure for the song and the feel of it as well.
Well, we're going to take a listen to The Chemist now. Give us a bit of background to this one, then.
Let's see. It's about one of our friends in Kettering, actually.
Who runs
Boots? Ignore the lyrics. It sounds a bit like our vocalist hates his family, but he doesn't.
Okay, right. It sounds intriguing. We'll take a listen to this one. And Sam, thank you for joining us. Good luck in the next part of the competition down at the Robin. Okay, sir.
All right, cheers.
Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
Scratch, but I can't find it. It's eating me away, I can't deny it. I need to find my lethal dose, can't let my time slip. Hey, I stop this, I can't hide. Need to inject myself, but it ain't easy. It's spinning everywhere. Please, man, I'm gonna find it soon. No need to tease me. I'm fantasizing again. Well, I'm gonna get free. And it's something I can't fight. Well, I need to find the room. Why for me to curse you? And now we think I I'm picking up the lines.
Stereotypical Blues Train and Chemist.
Very good, even though there was no saxophones in it.
Yeah, still no saxophone.
No, they are very good.
You've liked them on Facebook.
I've liked them on Facebook already.
You've now done your liking, which is good. Last Thursday, the 11th of August, saw the launch of Featherstone Community Aid Programme. To tell us more about it, I'm joined now on the phone. Well, we're joined now. I'm not excluding you here. You can join in.
Please.
We are joined now by Chair Sarah McWilliams. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. And also we have their village agent, which is an interesting title if ever there was one, Mr. Graham Hughes.
Hello.
We'll come to what another village agent means in a very short while. But first of all, Sarah, tell us a bit about Featherstone Youth for Change, because it's a forum made up of a dozen young people between the ages of 12 and 17.
Yeah, it's made up of children around the village, like 12 and 17, as she said, and we do a lot for the community, like to keep the kids off the street. We do such things as talent shows, festivals, youth clubs for the younger children. We do holiday play scheme for when the kids are off school, so they've got something to do. And we do discos and stuff.
And you're working with a lot of people in the community, because I actually have the group called The Loose Women who are also working with you, people like Graham who do their bit too. But it's the chance for the youth to actually get together and do something useful, including working with their elderly people during the winter months.
Yeah.
So what have you got planned for the colder season this year?
You know, the old people, they struggle with the weather, and like, we're going to just help them to get the shopping and medication and stuff when cold.
And when we've had events like we've had over the last few weeks where some of the youth of cities around the UK have been shown a very negative light by their actions, it's good to know that there's people like yourselves who really want to get a good positive feel and be part of the community.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like it's a major task to pull together, but finance has been helped through with this one by South Staffs Council, who gave a grant of £1,000. Now, Graham, you've been working with them on that, and I know you do some organising too, so tell us a bit about your role as a village agent.
Right, my role is to enable all the people of the village to achieve what they want to achieve. So I don't do things for them, I help them to do these things themselves. So when, like last winter, a couple of older people who were struggling in the snow said to some of the youth forum members, do you mind going to fetch me some milk and bread because I can't get out? Those youth forum members came back to their next meeting and said, this is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. And they said, what can we do? And I was there to speak with the other agencies, like the police and the council and the parish council as well, because they've been very helpful, to put together a package of help that the young people were happy with, to help the older people in the village. So, yeah, I mean, not just for the bad weather, it came around because of the bad weather, but you might have other vulnerable people who, you know, at different times of the year might not be able to get out and about and fetch things like prescriptions or walk their dog in the snow again, that the young people might go out and just clear their driveway so they can actually get down to the main road and get off walking to the shops or something. So it's not replacing any emergency services at all. They all know that. But this Thursday was really nice because it was a bit of a funny day. We didn't know how it was going to work out because, you know, with everything, as you say, that's been going on, we're taking young people down into the Senior Citizens Club, and there's 40 or 50 people down there, and it was amazing. They were really, really chuffed to bits with the young people going down, taking an interest in what's going on, looking at things that can help them, coming up with a really useful project. And we've got 34 people straight away signing up to the project. And see, those 34 people we can phone up and check on in times of bad weather, make sure everything's all right, or they can phone us and say, I need help.
And you've got, say, this forum that's doing this work. Many events on the way, because I know about the Featherstone Festival as I was there last year, but things like the play schemes that take place as well. But is there much on the calendar at the moment?
The play scheme's just coming to an end. Obviously, the summer holidays were quite a way through them. We've got this week is our last week. The Loose Women and the Youth Forum do it together. It's 2 hours a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 till 12 at Whitgreave School. We've got Featherstone's Got Talent at the very end of November, which will be the next big project that the Youth Forum and Loose Women are working on.
And Sarah, what's it like taking part in something like that? Do you get to do bits and pieces behind the scenes?
Just helping around, make sure everyone's organised and that the day goes to plan and stuff.
And are you not tempted to get on stage yourself, maybe?
No, not at all.
That's not your thing. But no. Good to be part of an event like that.
I do, like, at the festival and stuff, I'm a photographer, so I do take pictures and keep memories and stuff.
So there'll be pictures on the day from you.
Those pictures you can find on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Featherstone Staff. We are just building a website, featherstonestaff.co.uk, which will have links to all of the community groups in the village, because there's quite a few in there. So there'll be a link to a Featherstone Youth for Change website, a link to a Loose Woman website, at Featherstone Community First Responders, the Red, White and Blue football team, and all people like that. So they'll all be able to benefit from the work that the young people are doing, putting these sort of new technologies together that some of the people wouldn't be able to manage on their own.
No, but it sounds like you're all very busy.
Very busy.
Looking after the village of Featherstone. That's a good look, and may the success continue with these projects for many years to come. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye.
Right, let's take our last tune from our band. They are Stereotypical Blues Strain. This is Reasoning. We'll be right back.
Stereotypical Blues Train. And our final song from them, Zoe, you have pictures of them. There you go. You've seen them on their Facebook page.
Yes, they're not very clear pictures, though. I can't see what they look like.
No witty comments this week. No muscly arm comments.
No muscly arms. No shorts.
Any other pictures of them that we can go with? There's one of the lead singer. There you go.
Oh, yes, that's a bit of a better picture.
Yeah.
He's young, isn't he?
Yeah, that's normally the way you prefer our bands to, when they come in. It's about, 17 or 18, isn't
it? Well-shaven.
Okay, that makes the difference. Let's go to our co-host who makes much more sense when you've got her, whether she's in the studio or on the phone. It's Claire Diamond. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Oh, it's lovely and lovely to talk to you again. Our first time you joined us was on the phone, then you were here for several months, and you've gone off to the magical world of folk music, haven't you?
So, well, I wouldn't say gone. I was there already.
But it's been taking up a lot of your time of late, hasn't it?
Yeah, refocused again. Hello, Zoe. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Cool.
Feeling better.
Yes.
Bad.
Back from being faulty. Now, first of all, very good gig. You were brilliant on Friday night when I saw you at the tribute to Elton John. You supported, did half an hour of some lovely tunes, and I think you were very well received by the audience.
Oh, thank you.
That was a good night.
I had a few biased members in the audience, friends.
Well, yeah, but that's just because they're fans. Doesn't mean fans and friends doesn't mean they can't enjoy themselves. But you're taking part in the Bridge North Arts and Music Festival.
Yeah, the Bridge North Music and Arts Festival, I think it's in its sixth year, and it takes place beginning on Friday, the 26th of August, and it runs right through to the 4th of September. And so I'm lucky enough to kind of feature in both musician and artist capacity this year. On the Sunday, I'm playing on the High Street. They set up a stage in the High Street. And I'll be there about 4:30 on Sunday, the 28th of August.
I mean, that must be quite exciting on its own, mustn't it?
It is, very much so. To be on the main stage, given this time last year I was dancing in the street to other acts that were on the main stage, I did not anticipate to be sneaking onto it myself.
So what have you got planned for the audience that day? What sort of stuff will you be doing?
Again, it's only a 15 or 20 minute slot. They're putting acoustic acts on in between the bands, so it means that whenever the guys are changing over the equipment, it's still entertainment there for the audience, so you don't have to kind of like sneak away to find entertainment elsewhere. You're just someone who kind of keep you going in between. So 15 minutes, I'll have to choose carefully which songs to unleash in the public that day.
That's a tricky one. Any of your own that are going to get an airing, do you think?
That's still a work in progress. I think when I master a few more chords in the guitar, I can maybe delve into that world a little more. So,
is it going to be undercover?
That's a really good question, Zoe. The stage in the High Street is actually under a marquee.
Yeah.
So, irrespective of what the weather has in store that day, then you've got protection, whether that be from the sun and needing sun cream, or whether that's in the form of rain. So it's very well kind of catered for in that direction.
You say you don't wet equipment, really, do you? It doesn't mix very well.
That as well, no, definitely not.
Now, you're performing there, but have you got to dash off and go and perform somewhere else during the weekend as well?
Not in that particular weekend, but I'm actually doing an art workshop on Wednesday the 31st. Which is bookable. So I'm there in two guises. It's just quite nice the way it's worked out. So that's on the Wednesday, and I think it's taking place in the library. Again, they've got a very good website with all details, and you can actually like them on Facebook too to kind of have regular updates on what they're planning.
Give us the web address then.
The web address, so that's www.bridgenorth, and that's spelled BRIDGNORTHmusicfest.com.
So BridgeNorthMusicFest.com, and search for the same sort of thing in Facebook. You will track them down and you can like them to your heart's content. And what else is going on? Because you're so busy, there must be some other stuff that we need to know about that's going on, whether it be in the world of art or music.
That's a really good question. You've got me off the hoof here. Hold on 2 seconds, I'm checking the calendar. What else is happening? Well, actually, most importantly, what's occupying a lot of my time and a lot of colleagues, we're part of a group called Wolverhampton Contemporary Art Forum. So it's a mixture of artists in all different mediums and musicians. And we've currently been beavering away to organise a contemporary arts festival named Junction, which is taking place in the first weekend of September, primarily in Chapel Ash and Wolverhampton. So that's definitely a must.
We get down there for that one. Is that one got its own website too?
It does indeed, yes. So that's www.junctionwolverhampton.org. We're actually kind of coinciding that particular weekend with the Home of Metal exhibition. There's different things happening at the art gallery in town, as well as a conference to do with
heavy metal music going on at the university. In terms of the music side of things, at the Junction, the festival, we'll have 17 venues in Chapel Ash, and that's ranging from Harley Davidson right the way through to Bella and Banks's, the restaurants, to the Chinese, to the arch, the High Town Art Shop. They're all going to have artwork on show. During the day, on the Friday the 2nd and Saturday the 3rd, we'll have buskers at both ends of Chapel Ash, and then music events in the evening in three pubs, the Cumbermere, the Carndon, and the Royal Oak. So lots to choose from that weekend.
You're sport for choice. I certainly know that much. Well worth getting down. So that's the weekend of the 2nd of September.
Absolutely. Strategically placed a week before Wolverhampton have their next home match.
Well, I'm actually flying back from Houston on the 2nd, and I know we have Ladies' Day at Wolverhampton Racecourse on the night. So Sunday, if I'm not in too bad a state, I will pop down and see what's going on. Yeah,
so it does sound very good.
I'll probably be very tired, but it'd be worth nipping down to see what's happening.
You'll miss a few of the music events, but some of the artwork will still be on show in the shops on the Sunday, so definitely.
Yep, I will do my best to get down there for that one. Claire, thank you for joining us. Lovely to talk to you as ever. It's good to catch up with you on Friday night. And
no worries.
Keep us posted on what's happening and the next bit that's going on, and more performances, please, if you could. And once you've got a few of your tunes together, will you come in and sing for us as well, please?
Absolutely.
He reels off his list. He doesn't care, does he?
It's Claire. She knows the deal. She sat in that seat for I don't know how long. It was. You know what it's like, don't you?
Well, I do. I've been there. Very strange talking on the phone, got seeing you all.
It's a bit of an odd way of doing it, but at least you can picture it in your mind's eye.
I definitely can.
Winsett, thank you for joining us, and I do look forward to seeing you again very soon and hearing you sing once more, because it is a rather beautiful sound.
Thank you.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
See you guys soon. Bye.
All right, time to wrap things up. Back for episode 115 next week, which is a normal show. And then the week after, if I can get everything recorded, we'll be introducing a few clips I've done recording out and about.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be for the week after whilst I'm off in the States.
Jetting around the world.
It's hard work. It's easy.
At least you'll be all right for food over there, because you've got McDonald's, haven't you? So.
And I'm going for steaks. Steak in Texas, I think, would be a good move. And it should be a sensible price as well. Mm. But I'll tell you more about that when I return, which will be the second week in September.
Mm. And large portions as well, so you're going to have to watch what you're eating, I think, Jason.
There may be a little more excess baggage on the way back. And there's no point me dieting till I've been out there. And then, after that, get into shape for Christmas. I think is the plan.
It's just food all year round, isn't it?
It's great. I love it. So we thank you for joining us, and lovely to see you again. And we should be back next week for more, shan't we?
Oh, yes. And I've already got a guest for next week.
You're planning ahead.
Yes.
So unlike you. Ta-ra for now. See you soon.
Bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.